There are plenty of book clubs and people talking about books, but how many people are actually talking about their relationships with books? How did a book make them feel? How did a book change their lives? That's one of the main questions driving the new micro podcast from WPR's To the Best of Our Knowledge. Here's the setup.
We interview a lot of writers on this show, but do you know that before we let them leave the studio, we usually ask them to tell us their favorite book?
My name is Margaret Atwood.
Tommy Orange.
Martin Amis.
I'm Werner Herzog.
This is Anne Lamott. A book that changed my life forever was Pippi Longstocking's.
I was eating a donut, and I just realized what a novel could do for the first time.
Welcome to Bookmarks, a new weekly micro podcast. Learn more at ttbook.org/bookmarks.
Anne Strain Champs is the host of To the Best of Our Knowledge. Anne, welcome back to Central Time.
So great to be here again, Rob. Hi.
And Shannon Henry Kleiber is a producer, interviewer, and writer for To the Best of Our Knowledge. Shannon, thanks for joining us in the studio, too.
Hi, Rob.
Anne, what's the story behind these stories?
Okay, well, To the Best of Our Knowledge, as I just said, interviews a lot of writers. And for years, we've been asking them to, before they leave the studio, to tell us about a favorite book, a book that kind of left a mark on them. And we haven't really done anything with this audio. And I don't know, last year sometime, maybe we were cleaning out some files or something and realized we have, Shannon, how many? 60? At least, yeah. At least of
these. Incredible authors on books that are surprising sometimes, and we thought we should do something with it.
Yeah, we really felt like we were, you know, hoarding these things. And, and you know, it's fun producing an hour-long program, but we decided we wanted these to be little tiny, tiny jewels. So it's kind of an experiment. Micro podcasts are a new thing. We thought, we'll try it.
And it's easy to say, oh, here's a book that I liked. Here's a book that I enjoyed. Did everybody have an answer for this question about a life-changing book?
No way. And we had to learn how to ask the question
correctly,
too. Don't you think the early ones were more like book reports?
Book reports. So, yeah, you don't want to just hear, here's the plot, here's what I liked. You want to hear, you know, that they hated the book and then they learned to love it, or they met their spouse through it, or they had this incredible revelation through it somehow.
And not everybody has a dramatic story, but when we changed what we were asking and stopped saying, can you tell us about a favorite book, and started saying, is there a book that's really left a mark on you? A book that, you know, you love it or you hate it, but you can't forget it. That's when we started getting, yeah, little stories.
Well, I want to give a listen to one of those to get a taste of this. Anne Lamott, novelist and nonfiction writer, talking about what one young female character allowed her to feel.
This is Anne Lamott, and a book that changed my life forever was Pippi Longstocking's. I was an early reader and found literal salvation in chapter books. The first one I remember was Pippi Longstocking's, about this little Swedish girl with braids that stuck straight out, one black sock and one brown sock, and a horse that lived with her, and a monkey whose name I think was Mr. Nilsson. And her father was the king of a cannibal island. He had floated off somewhere. I don't remember if we know what happened to her mother, but she lived alone next to slightly priggish Swedish girls whose names I think are Tommy and Annika. And she radicalizes them. She gets them to do things that are way scarier than I would ever do. She teaches them to go a little farther beyond their garden than they've ever gone before. She makes them laugh. Sometimes she just picks up her horse and carries them out to the front porch for a little fresh air. And when I read that book, I thought, there's a place in this world for me, for odd, strange, strong me.
Great.
And I thank the author every few days.
A great story there. I've learned that Pippi Longstockings was Swedish. I read the books as a kid and they were in English when I read them, and I never put it together. Do you see themes, Shannon, emerge from stories like Anne's and the other 50 stories you heard from authors and creators?
Definitely. So childhood is a big theme. Definitely the kind of those early books can have such an effect on us, whether it's one of the first books we read or something that, you know, we learned about a certain part of the world for the first time. There's also themes, I think, in kind of other stages of life, like, you know, in your young 20s and starting out in a certain job or in a relationship. And you remember that time in your life. So there's kind of the geography of some of them.
Talking to Anne Strainchaps and Shannon Henry Kleiber from To the Best of Our Knowledge, talking about their micro podcast called Bookmarks, about how authors and makers have had their lives changed by another book or an author. And did going through these change the way you think about books? And you've thought about books a lot over the years.
I have. You know, partly because at some point I thought, you know, this is harder than I thought, because I challenged myself, could I come up with a bookmark? Part of me was probably thinking, what is the matter with these people? Why can't they give us better bookmarks? Why is it so hard to come up with a good story about encountering a book? So I tried using some of the little prompts that we give writers myself, and it was really wonderful. I wound up remembering books that I haven't thought of for a long time, or books that I read and reread. It made me really think about why and what it is that that book is giving me. And yeah, I realized I had taken books seriously, but not necessarily my own life as a reader seriously.
That's interesting. Those are two different things.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. I was used to the books being the stars, and maybe I could have an opinion about a book, but I didn't really think of of how much reading books shapes my life. Each interaction with a book is like meeting another person. And every time you meet somebody, you know, you meet lots of people. Many of them may wind up meaning not that much to you, but you meet a few special people over the course of your life who really change how you think of yourself and the world and the course of your life.
And Shannon, let's make it even more complicated. You have a piece in the Best of Our Knowledge episode that sets this up about a book club that you're in. So now it's not just you and a book and how you relate to it, but you and your book club compatriots and how you relate to each other and the book.
Yeah, you know, collective reading is really profound, I think, and powerful. So my book club has been together. We're going into our 10th year.
Wow.
So we've read close to 100 books together.
Wow.
And that is a real relationship. So there's 12 of us, 12 women, and we really do read the book, and we talk about the book, but we talk about life and everything else and our kids and our, you know, everything going on. But there's something about, you know, you might read a book that you would never have chosen before with a book club. You might have an idea that you didn't, we wouldn't have had if it wasn't for the collective reading together.
That's something that you're forced to do, and I'm forced to do on the show too, Anne, is we'll often read books that might not have come across our personal selections, and it really forces you to branch out.
Well, and I feel you must too, that, I mean, I've grown so much as a person and feel lucky that I've been forced to read books for a living. And as you both said, books that I wouldn't not necessarily have chosen. I think in some ways, you know, it's kind of like Facebook or political tribalization. We all kind of want to read the stuff we're comfortable with.
If you like blank, then try blank.
Yeah. And when you're forced out of that and forced to, you know, the first time I had to read a book about quantum physics, and I thought, I don't understand this, but I had to. It changed my life. So, you know, these are good things.
We're talking to Anne Strainchamps and Shannon Henry Kleiber from WPR's To the Best of Our Knowledge, talking about their show's new podcast called Bookmarks. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Is there a book that changed your life in some way, whatever that means to you? Something that you can divide your life a little bit into pre that book and post that book, or could be an author in all of their works. And what is it about that book that kept you coming back and maybe thinking about it differently over the years? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can email ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our talk with, To the Best of Our Knowledge, host Anne Strainchamps and producer Shannon Henry Kleiber. We're talking about their new micro podcast. It's called Bookmarks, featuring authors and creators who share the story of books that changed their lives in one way or another. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Is there a book from your childhood or adult life that you look back on and say, yeah, that did change the way I think about things, or that you've had a ongoing relationship over the years where maybe it meant one thing as a teenager, something different now as a grown-up? Call in at 800-642-1234. Are you in the middle of that book right now? 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. Well, I want to ask you too, if going through this you came up with your own bookmarks. Shannon, let's start with you.
So one of the most influential books in my life was Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. And I just loved the fantasy world of dropping into another whole universe and all the possibilities that could happen when you think it is impossible. So I really loved that. But I came to it because my parents had this, they would order the 100 greatest books of all time, and they would come really gradually in these beautiful leather-bound volumes with gold leaf. And that was the first one of all of them that I could read when I was old enough to read. And then gradually I read many of the rest of them in that 100 greatest books.
And Anne?
Well, mine is going to dovetail so perfectly. I didn't,
you didn't prepare this?
No, okay. I did not know about Alice in Wonderland. We have to talk. So mine is the All Souls trilogy by Deborah Harkness, and in particular the first book, Discovery of Witches. So this is my comfort read for a particular kind of malaise, the loss of enchantment, which I think that we all suffer from to a greater or lesser degree. If for nothing else, then I think a lot of us miss that feeling of being children and reading Alice in Wonderland or Harry Potter and feeling that magic just might be real. This book is about a young historian. Her name is Diana Bishop. She is descended from a long line of witches, but Diana wants nothing to do with magic and has cultivated a carefully ordinary life. She is a historian who studies alchemy and Elizabethan science, and in real life, that's what the author, Deborah Harkness, does. And the story begins when Diana accidentally opens an alchemical manuscript in Oxford's Bodleian Library, and she discovers that it's bewitched, and that it's a book that the creatures, the magical creatures in the world, vampires, witches, and demons, have been seeking for centuries. And this book seems to have been spelled to open only for her. So really, this is the story of a woman who has tried to be good, to restrain, to cover up her natural, born, inherent magical powers. And it's the story of how she rediscovers magic and reclaims her own powers and discovers their uniqueness. So, you know, how can this not be my comfort read when,
love
I,
it.
Need,
oh, it sounds
when I need more magic and a sense of empowerment?
Well, I've detected a theme in both of yours, the enchantment in both of your selections. That's great. Well, let's see what our callers have on their list. We'll go first to Lenny in McFarland. Lenny, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to tell us about, Lenny?
When I was little, I'm now 90, I had access to my grandfather's library, and in it was a lot of history. And I read A Child's History of England. And I was so distressed by the injustice and the violence that I decided there was not a benevolent God, at best an indifferent one, who did not put down his furry hand to correct injustice. And I really cried.
Wow.
Wow.
That's Charles Dickens's, I think, Child History of England. So age 9, and still you could hear she's feeling it, Anne, at age 90.
Yeah.
The emotion. Yeah, that's one thing that is really incredible. When the book causes an emotion, whether it's surprise or happiness or sadness, it's memorable.
I think often books like that, it's the combination of the emotion and the idea that's brought together. When those things come together powerfully in a book, wow.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Lenny. We'll go now to Sheila with us in Waukesha. Sheila, hi.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. What book did you want to share with us, Sheila?
Well, actually, also at 9, I had my first, I guess, big revelation, and that was when I was going through Hodgkin's disease and cancer treatments. My mother read The Hobbit to me and Lord of the Rings, and when I went through my chemo treatments then and had to lay there and just kind of think about things, I decided that each one of the chemo drugs was going to be a different fellowship member, and they were fighting the orcs, which were the cancer cells. So, you know,
wow.
Something that kind of helped me get through that. And then I also wanted to mention that later in my teens, when I discovered Tom Robbins and that kind of whole genre of books, one of the passages that I always remember to this day is when he's talking about seeing people walking around in the rain, and instead of being all hunched over and hiding from it, they were turning their faces up to the sky and treating it like a blessing. And I think I've always, since that moment, tried to kind of do that with myself and just remember, you know, that weather is there for a reason, and sometimes it is a blessing. So,
and Sheila, I got to ask before we let you go, do you go back to The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings, and you know, given that special place it has for you?
Oh, my God, yes. Of course, I've got pretty much every Tolkien book I can get, including, you know, an Atlas of Middle Earth. And, you know, that it also opened up a lot of, you know, kind of philosophical questions in my young mind. And then over the years, I returned to it again and again, and love the movies as well, too. So,
Sheila, thank you so much for sharing that with us. Wow.
Can I just add I loved also The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings as a kid. I actually taught myself Elvish, and then I introduced those books to my kids, and my daughter taught herself Elvish, but she's smarter than I am, so she learned it a lot better. And for a long time, she kept a journal in Elvish so that nobody in the family could read it. And our family still, every year at Christmas time, watches all 9 hours of the Lord of the Rings movies.
Those repeat encounters are so incredible. If you have it as a young child, and then you keep on remembering when you read it and what was happening in your life and what you find different as you read it at different ages and different stages of your life.
I do find it so remarkable how many people, the first thing they think of is a book they read when they were 9, 10, 13. That's come up over and over with the writers that we talked with for Bookmarks.
Sheila, thanks so much for the call. We're talking to Anne Strainchamps and Shannon Henry Kleiber, both with, to the best of our knowledge, talking about their new podcast called Bookmarks. Back to your calls now. Mike is with us in Laval. Mike, hello.
Hi. Really a pleasure to talk to all of you. To the best of our knowledge, and Central Time are two of my favorite shows. So this
thanks,
is a real
Mike.
Treat. A couple of things. I've read a couple of authors, like everything that they've written, just by getting hooked on one book. And the first one, back in high school, I wasn't really a reader, but I had to pick a book for a book report. And I had just seen the movie East of Eden on TV. And so I read the book by Steinbeck. And I was so taken by the writing and the storytelling and how much it drew me into the experience that I ended up reading everything that Steinbeck wrote, you know, ending up with his very early novels. But I remember reading The Grapes of Wrath and being really challenged, because back then when I was like 16, I was really politically conservative. And so I'm reading The Grapes of Wrath thinking, Steinbeck a subversive person of some kind, you know? but it really helped change my worldview in a healthy way. And then later, when I was like in my late 20s, somebody suggested the Ginger Man by J.B. Donlevy, and again I was like so taken into the book that I read everything that Donlevy wrote. And the Beastly Beatitudes of Balthazar B. is still one of my favorite novels.
Mike, thank you so much for sharing all that. There's a lot there we could run with, but John Steinbeck turned a non-reader into a reader. That's pretty profound right there.
Yeah, it makes me think about that bookmark. We have Tommy Orange, who just won the National Book Award, I think, for his novel There. Talked about the book he read. He wasn't a reader and stumbled on a book in his
20s. Confederacy of Dunces.
Right, yeah. Confederacy of Dunces. And it's the first book that made him, A, want to read, and B, think that maybe he could be a writer.
Wow. Anything else stand out to you that you want to tease from the podcast series, Shannon?
We have so many cool things coming up. So it is surprising when you hear different people like Tommy Orange, you know, what is he going to really choose? So I'll give you a couple names. I'll give you Margaret Atwood on Why It's Eric SOC, Alice Walker on Disturbing the Peace, Martin Amis on The Adventures of Augie March, and Lydia Yuknovich on Born. And I edited that last one, Lydia Yuknovich on Born. And her love of this book was so profound that she read it, fell asleep, woke up in the middle of the night, and started to read it again.
Wow.
And you know what? I guess what I would say is the main thing that this whole project has revealed to me is the power of, I like to think of them as our secret lives as readers, because we all have this interior life when we're reading to ourselves. Sometimes it's late at night. Sometimes we just sink into that special space where it's just a book and us. That's a whole secret life that we often don't share with each other. But at the very least, you know, how wonderful to validate it more and maybe begin to talk about it more.
Well, I've got to think this would be fun for writers to listen to as well, because they've put all their work in and then they release their creation out into the world. But it's not just what ends up on the page or the screen, I guess. If it's an ebook, it's the end result is when the person reads it, who they are when they read it. It's got to be informative about the act of creation, too.
And the magic, part of the magic for me is, none of these books that people are recommending are new books. You know, they're not the latest ones the publishers are pushing. These are books that have been around sometimes for centuries, and some new reader comes along and pulls it off a library shelf and is entranced. You know, books are immortal in a way that we're not. And that's very beautiful to me and magical.
It's a micro podcast, meaning each episode is pretty short, but there's lots of them, right?
Right.
That's
not very micro. Each one is just 3 to 5 minutes, which is just kind of so beautiful and sound designed in a beautiful way. And you can listen to a lot of them at once, or you can listen to one, which is kind of cool.
They're like a little box of chocolates.
Yeah.
And the first season is 13 episodes, and then we'll take a month break, and then we'll release another 13 in season 2.
And then you keep interviewing people for To the Best of Our Knowledge.
We do. We're still collecting bookmarks.
We're always gathering. Yep. Yes.
So this micro podcast could go on infinitely.
Yeah, right. Forever.
Thank you both so much for sharing it with us today.
Thanks for having us.
We've been talking to Anne Strainchamps and Shannon Henry Kleiber from WPR's To the Best of Our Knowledge. We talked to them today about their new micro podcast, which could go on a long time in little bits and pieces. It's called Bookmarks. You can listen at ttbook.org/bookmarks or wherever you find your podcasts.